Thinking about the Trinity, there's no end to the words that have been written about the divine. And a few weeks ago, I wrote a communion liturgy stealing words from other people, words of song from U2 and Beatles. And so I kind of liked it, so I did it again. Not just song this time. I've collected some sources that speak about the Trinity and the divine from Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, to James Weldon Johnson, Carl Sagan, and Scripture and Song to tell this story of the Trinity. Current theories on the creation of the universe state that if it was created at all and didn't just start, as it were, unofficially, it came into being between 10 and 20,000 million years ago. By the same token, the Earth itself is generally supposed to be about 4,500 million years old. These dates are incorrect. Medieval Jewish scholars put the date of creation at 3760 BC. Greek Orthodox theologians put creation as back as far as 5508 BC. These suggestions are also incorrect. Archbishop James Usher published Annals Veteris and Novi Testaments in 1654, which suggested that the heaven and the earth were created in 4004 BC. One of his aides took the calculation further and was able to announce triumphantly that the earth was created on Sunday, the 21st of October, 4004 BC, at exactly 9 a.m., because God liked to get to work early while he was feeling fresh. This too was incorrect by about a quarter of an hour. The whole business with the fossilized dinosaur skeletons was a joke paleontologists just haven't got yet. So somewhere between 6,000 years and 13 billion years, give or so 15 minutes, God stepped out into space, looked around and said, "I'm lonely. I'm going to make a world." As far as the eye could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 nights, down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled and the light broke. Darkness rolled up on one side and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." In that beginning was the Word and the wisdom. And in that beginning, the ineffability of God knew no limits. No language could describe the fullness of creation. No heart could perceive the love that created it. No mind could understand the immensity. As time passed, we tried to fully describe the indescribable through art and music and word, each becoming similar, like the story of the blind people trying to describe an elephant. We shared what little we gained of the vastness before us. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe are challenged by a tiny blue dot, a point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. Vastness couldn't save us from ourselves. So God whispered into ears and moved hearts. And when the fullness of time came, God sent the Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that they might receive adoption as children. Vastness poured into creation. In Jesus, heaven and earth were made one. The fullness of all we had ever known became touchable and kissable and killable. God with us became Jesus. Jesus found his story in one already written. He preached the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. He looked at all of us the way that God does, with grace that meets us where we are, yet never leaves us where it found us. With love, for God so loved the world. The whole of the universe was caught up in the eyes of the Son. He was someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares, someone who's there, that could reach out. We could reach out and touch faith. For in him we saw the face of God. In him we saw our best selves. In Jesus' miracles, the limits of our understanding met with God's uncontainable love. In his teachings, Jesus reminded us that of the oppressive limits of our religious and social and political systems, none of which were God-given. For God wants us to act and do justly, and to love mercy and to walk humbly, to enflesh God and make real God. For the vastness of all that is desired only to be known, bridging gaps in order to not separate nor overwhelm us. Even this was not enough. Vastness was not enough, and closeness was not enough. God got under our skin. As close as breath, in the language we speak, this Spirit brings life, challenge, and urges us to fly with the freedom of doves. This is the Spirit of truth, the helper, the advocate, the friend. This Spirit causes the little hairs on our arms to stand up and the chill to run down our spine. This Spirit reveals the completeness of God above, on, and after, above, on, and under, a mystery that no simple story can describe. This is the Spirit that hovered over creation and over the waters of birth and baptism. This is the Spirit that fills the broken places of this creation and offers wholeness in the complete picture of the Trinity. For this Trinity is a circle of relationship, not a chain of command or great chain of being. Here is relationship without any overlay of power. Hierarchy would make no sense here. And humanity was created to be in face-to-face relationship with this Trinity, to join our circle of love. And so into this love we are born. When you were born, someone hovered over you and said, "You have your Father's eyes." Another might have said, "You have your mother's smile." We have God's heart. This heart is what beats to the rhythm of the God song, at one in creation, for we are called into relationship beyond ourselves. Relationship with God and with neighbor and with our very selves. For the world and everything in it is charged with the grandeur of God, alive with the electricity that surges between us when we connect authentically. When we see with God's eyes, we see a world that needs us. When we smile with God's smile, we embody unexplainable joy. When we feel with God's heart, we cannot help but feel the pain of suffering. Together with God, we see that it all matters. Because if anything matters, if anything in the universe, be it you or your neighbor or the bumblebee in the bush outside, If anything matters, then everything matters. Because you are important. Everything you do, therefore, is important. Every time you forgive, the universe changes. Every time you reach out and touch a heart or a life, the world changes. With every kindness and service, seen or unseen, God's purposes are accomplished, and nothing will be the same again. For we are promised that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And nothing has been the same since we lived knowing the potential within us. For we are told that Jesus is the true vine, and we are invited to live in Jesus. We're invited to make our home in Christ just as He lives in us, in the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine that we can bear fruit because of the one we are joined with. And we are invited to be one. As Jesus and God are one, as God is in Jesus and Jesus in God, may we be also in the divine, above, on, and under, in and with and through, so that forever you may dwell in hope, so that with courage and with confidence you may declare, we are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.